Morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourself around the world. Welcome to the 12th episode of DevelopPod. I'm very pleased to have in the virtual studio today two newcomers to the TD SIG committee, and certainly not newcomers to the world of English language teaching. First, I'd like to introduce Tanya Iverson. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. Welcome on board. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. It's finally a nice warm day here in Toronto, Canada. So very happy.
So you're in sunny Toronto.
Can you tell yes.
Can you tell us what you do there from sunny Brighton? Tell me a little bit about what you do.
Well, in sunny Toronto, I am the program coordinator for a pre-service teacher education course that has the CELTA program wrapped into it. And I'm also an ESL professor at the college that I work at. And I've been in the industry for almost 30 years. I started in 1990 in Taiwan. And I've worked in six different countries. So I'm very happy to be here to talk to you this morning and to be co-hosting in future.
And secondly, over to James Taylor. Hi, James.
Hello, Christian. And hello, Tanya. And hello, listeners, of course.
And James, where are you?
So I'm in Brazil, always sunny. So I'm a teacher, teacher trainer, materials writer, and a podcast producer, handily enough.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be helping more out on the technical side, but also sometimes chipping in with the odd interview or hosting. Can you tell us about the other podcast that you do?
So I guess I'm best known for doing the TEFL Commute podcast, which I do with Lindsay Clanfield and Sean Wilden. We've just done over 50 episodes of that, so that's going strong. And I also edit a podcast called The 7 Skills for the Future, which is not a TEFL podcast, but I think we'll be very interested in TEFL people, so go ahead and check that out.
Thank you, James. We're very honoured to have you on board as well. So today's episode is a little bit different. We're going to hear from the PCE, the pre-conference event from IOTEFL 2019 in Liverpool. First of all, over to Tyson Seaborn to introduce it for you.
I've been looking forward to this. We've been planning this SIG for about, or this PCE for about 9 months, and I feel like I've been talking about it for that entire time, so it's very lovely to actually see it come to fruition. We'll have a plenary first, then three talks, and then a little bit of a break so we can get some coffee and relieve ourselves. And then we'll come back and we're going to go into an open space type of session. It's an opportunity for you to get together with one of the speakers, or maybe a couple of those speakers, should you be interested, and have a discussion more focused around what they have been talking about in their talk. And then in the afternoon, we'll be repeating the same type of structure we did in the morning, with Lizzie Milligan will be doing the plenary first, and then three successive talks that are 15 minutes each, a little break, an open space, and then we're ending the day with a closing panel. And then there will be a little bit of an opportunity for anyone to have an open mic Q&A with any of the speakers towards the end of the day as well.
So first we'll hear from Steve Brown. Here we're catching up with James, who interviewed him at the PCE, and Steve Brown gives a nice definition of the topic, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about the term social justice warrior, I think it used to be regarded very positively and people would declare themselves social justice warrior. And it basically just meant somebody who was a bit of an activist against oppression or somebody who was in favour of promoting kind of equality and justice on a social level. But in the last few years, it seems to have switched and it's become far more pejorative term that's used, and you get people on the far right with very conservative views talk about SJWs in a very pejorative kind of a way, suggesting that they're really just pursuing their own their own self-interests. So I think now it's a rather problematic term, and it's difficult for us to use to kind of talk about ourselves, you know.
So with that in mind, how would you define yourself now then, in terms of as a teacher?
Yeah, well, I don't think I would like to use the term social justice warrior because it brings along with it all these negative connotations. However, I think that social justice is just a very fundamental part of what we should be doing as teachers. I think that's just a fundamental part of education. Anybody who thinks that one of the purposes of education is not to give people the skills to try and make the world a better place, I feel has got a rather strange view of what education should be. And therefore, while I'm very much in favour of social justice and addressing issues to do with inequality and discrimination in the classroom, I prefer not to be called a social justice warrior. I'd rather just be called a teacher, because as far as I'm concerned, that's just a fundamental part of what teachers should do.
Okay, so let's get some views from our temporary panellist of today, Tanya and James. Tanya, first of all, I know you weren't at the PCE, but having heard this kind of definition, do you think you're a social justice warrior?
I agree with Steve Brown that there's a lot of negative connotation with the term, and I see that kind of associated with the warrior aspect. I do see myself as teaching with social justice consciousness, but I actually really like the definition of social justice teaching that was presented by Tabitha Del Angelo in 2014, where she says that it's recognizing and acting upon the power we have for making a positive change. And so if I embrace that definition, yes, I do see myself as teaching within social justice consciousness.
And over to you, James. Are you a social justice warrior over there in Brazilian?
No, because of the reasons that Steve Brown outlined. So I was really interested by the choice of this topic because I was aware of this pejorative use of the term social justice warrior as a kind of ironic insult. But of course, yeah, I'm completely invested in the idea of teaching with social justice in mind in my classrooms. And I have very little time for this kind of cynicism about it. So for me, it can sound kind of grand, but, you know, as we are English teachers, but the most important part of that phrase is the word teacher, and not English. So we do have a role as educators to do more than just get across grammar and vocabulary. So it's definitely something that I always try to consider in my teaching and my materials writing.
As for me, I don't have a problem at all with that term. I didn't realize it was pejorative before I heard him, and I still don't have a problem with it. I think if there's an axe to grind and it needs grinding, then it should be ground. And I don't mind being called a social justice warrior, although I don't think that term would ever be leveled towards me. That said, I can think of a very personal example where I came out to a group of Saudi students, they happen to be, largely Saudi men, and you could hear a pin drop in class. And although I've done that very rarely in my time as a teacher, I think that we can be a social justice warrior in many, many small and big ways along the way. For me, I'm a quiet social justice warrior day to day. And we asked this same question to a bunch of people during the PCE. Here's what they had to say. We asked them the same question. Are you a social justice warrior, and what does this mean to you?
Well, like Steve Brown said, it might be part of our job to do that, so to help society to be more equal or more open to everybody. So maybe I'm more like a teacher doing my job.
Well, actually, I try to broaden every single topic that I have to teach. And when it comes to local issues that we talk about or any kind of issue we talk about, I try to make it a global issue as well and try to find the global aspect in every single thing I teach about. So whatever it takes.
So how I try to bring social justice into my classes, I really love when I have international students in my language practice classes at the university, because their life, their stories, and their being are the best examples for social justice.
In my context in India, social justice really means access to opportunities, because very often the lack of justice occurs because people don't have access to employment, to education, to rights. And for example, I have worked with young girls from secondary school and so on, who the minute they turn 18, their parents get them married, and really that's really you're losing out an opportunity to live your life the way you want to. That's what justice means to me.
I can't imagine any interaction, whether it's a formal learning environment, whether it's people on a bus, whether it's people in a meeting, where respect and tolerance and care and kindness should not be the fundamentals of every single thing we do, whether it's teaching the present perfect or coaching math.
Yeah, emphasizing equality and then treating everyone as a member of that classroom family, and then emphasizing the same spirit to the students. Yeah, because the issue of social justice is something which is so relevant, especially in our country, where people are divided and people don't feel that sense of being together. But as a teacher at my level, what I do is to make sure there is equality in all that those who participate in the classroom context.
Social justice for me relates to the classroom, because the classroom is a microcosm of the society. Therefore, it is important to raise awareness about issues of social justice in the classroom and make the students aware of these issues. And for me, social justice relates to language right, because I teach in an English as a medium of instruction context. Therefore, I try to raise the students' awareness that they have the right to other languages other than English.
I think it is about becoming aware of a lot of inequalities. And as a teacher, it is really important to put that in our lessons so students get involved in a lot of issues that otherwise they wouldn't know about.
So it should be emphasized, of course, that the TED SIG, co-hosted with GI SIG at the PCE this year, the GI SIG being the Global Issues Special Interest Group, and Jules, the former coordinator of GI SIG, was there on the day.
Well, as Tyson said, it's been a long time in the planning. A lot of discussion, obviously, around selecting our speakers and deciding how the day was going to look in terms of the sort of the flow and the overall shape of it. And I have to say that I'm really pleased. We had a really fantastic turnout, if you like. I mean, we were one of the largest PCEs, which is wonderful for GSIG, because we're a small SIG anyway. It was lovely to go into collaboration with TD SIG. So the fact I felt that I could sort of relax a little bit in terms of, you know, getting people here. I think the question that we posed, are you a social justice warrior, clearly resonated with a lot of people, and they came out of curiosity, or maybe it was something that they thought about before and just wanted to get some sort of confirmation, if you like, of things they were already doing in the classroom, or maybe they simply came for new ideas, I don't know. But the nice thing was that, yeah, we had a lot of people who seemed really interested in what was going on and what our speakers had to say.
And so regarding the topic, how do you feel about it now? Are you a social justice warrior?
I am, unashamedly. I mean, I have a lot of issues that I'm concerned about. I'm very active in Bristol, where I live, with a number of different organisations. At the moment, Extinction Rebellion, which I feel is... I don't know. I've yet to kind of decide whether I think that their approach is the right one. But what I've noticed, it's not just about non-violent direct action and lying down in roads, blocking traffic. It's also about talking to our local city council about the climate emergency. So that's just one of many things that take up my time. So I feel, in some ways, that, you know, what Global Issues stands for and what it asks people to discuss is absolutely crucial to the world we're living in right now, which is a very kind of unstable and kind of unpredictable world. And I feel it's really important that people wake up, really, and start talking about these topics. And if they can't do it in the classroom, then life gets in the way most of the time, doesn't it?
So unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the PCE, and of course, I'm a little jealous that I couldn't. So what about you guys? What was it like for you? Did you enjoy the event? Christian?
Yeah, I really did. There were so many different ideas and streams of thought going on. I didn't know whether it was going to come together in the beginning, and then it did magically. There was such a spectrum of opinion there, and for me, it sat really comfortably at the end. And we managed to not only listen to various people, but speak to them and ask them questions in an open forum. So yeah, it really worked. It was quite stimulating. I suppose that's what a PCE is meant to do.
Excellent. And what about you, James?
Yeah, I had a great day. It was actually my first PCE, actually, because I've been to ITEFL numerous times. And the last few times I'd been to the Associates Day as a former president of a teaching association. So this was my first PCE, and it didn't disappoint. I thought it was an excellent day. Apart from Steve Brown's plenary, which I thought was excellent, I also really enjoyed Sergio Duran's session on materials, because that was right up my street. So, but in general, I just thought the whole day was really interesting, and the whole sort of theme that linked everything together was it was the kind of thing that I like: big topics, big ideas, and things that need to be discussed.
And the feedback on the day was just excellent. And we're going to hear from Tyson Seaborn now, who's going to sum up the day, I guess. And he's the coordinator of the TDC, as we mentioned before. So without further ado, over to Tyson.
First of all, I'd like to thank, obviously, GISIG for being our collaborators on this PCE. I first approached them at ITEFL last year and said, hey, I would like to do something with you guys on Are You a Social Justice Warrior? And they were all for it. And of course, it came with that loaded bit. And so there was a little bit of nerves here and there. But I think it really played out well. And I'm really proud of the day that we've put together. And hopefully you've had a lot of good discussion. So hopefully you would clap along with me to say, hey, it was a great day.
Hey Tyson, thank you for that day. You're the coordinator of the TDSIG. How do you feel it went?
I was not surprised, but I was delighted in the way that the day unfolded, sort of in the way that we had planned it to, insofar as the speakers were right on point. They all had a diverse amount or different types of perspectives to bring into the social justice angle, and they all talked about teacher development and how it intersects in one way or another, which is sort of the danger when you talk about global issues, is to remove the sort of teacher development aspect, and that obviously is our focus, and that's what we wanted to make sure was throughout the day, and I think it did play out throughout the day. And then the open space discussions were a typical TDSIG thing. They worked really well, and I think everybody looked forward to them just as much as they actually looked forward to the talks themselves.
What was the standout moment for you in terms of your own learning, in terms of being a social justice warrior?
That's a very good question. I think probably the idea that we have to mix together not only globalized issues as though they're universal, but also consider the local context and whether or not that global issue is applicable, and if it is, how can we treat it in a way that includes the learners and their own not only limitations but their own understandings of what's possible within their context to actually talk about or do or act on. And so what I think is a good way to do that I got from these talks is really that on the teacher level in the local context is a great way where we can discuss with colleagues practical implications for the sort of larger themes that we talk about as an international association. So instead of things remaining sort of in this PCE in terms of being sort of theoretical and yeah, we want to do this and we want to do that and we want to do this, but we can't actually do it in our own classrooms. Instead of taking that approach, we actually take the themes and the frameworks that have come out of today's discussions and we talk about them with our own local colleagues and try to work locally to try to figure out a way in which we can provide a social justice mandate, but one that is practical and reasonable.
ITEFL is much wider than the PCE, as great as it was. Can I ask you, Tanya, what were you inspired by at ITEFL? I'll give you 30 seconds.
Okay.
No pressure.
No, not at all. I was particularly inspired by Paula's plenary about teacher empowerment. And there were a couple of ideas that really jumped out for me. And one was, can we empower, or do people need to self-initiate empowerment? And I found that interesting in looking at it from a dualistic perspective. Why can't it be both? maybe there's both aspects that need to be come in and the need to come in. And the other aspect I thought was interesting was her idea of how gurus silence people and her investigation on that.
Great. So your homework, Tanya, is to look at that, interview a bunch of people if you can, and lead an episode on that.
Absolutely. Happy to do so.
Fantastic. And James, over to you. What were you inspired by? 30 seconds.
So I thought one of the big themes of the conference was undoubtedly diversity and representation, particularly related to materials. And this is an area of interest for me at the moment. So it was really, when you're working on a theme like that, when you go to a conference at ITF and you see there are lots of other people sort of thinking about this idea and talking about it, that's really inspiring. You know, it makes you feel like you're on the right track. And I think that this is a really important issue that needs to be discussed much more in our profession. So that was a big takeaway for me.
Great. The takeaway for all of us is to make that into the next juicy episode, right? Because
absolutely.
I think we can all talk about this and think about this aspect of diversity much more within our own teaching.
And Christian, what about you?
Well, I listened to Silvana Richardson talking about evaluating CPD. Now, you may remember that I interviewed Silvana on a previous episode, so I'm not sure I'll be going back to her, but she really inspired me again, and she tried to pin down how to evaluate CPD with a 5-step method, going from judging participants' reactions all the way to really looking at learning outcomes and assessing the learning outcomes, how we've made a difference in terms of CPD. I think we can look at that in the future. How to do that more specifically remains to be seen. That's my homework. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Thank you so much for Tanya and James for joining us today.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
We'll get back to you in the next episode on one of those themes that we've mentioned today. Thanks for listening.